Let us pray. Holy God, we give you thanks for this time, for your word that we have heard that has shared your truth as given to us from the people of our history, people who have kept it alive, people who were challenged, people who were human. And we pray that their words may strengthen us and give us courage for the living of our days, that we might be faithful disciples today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, it appears that a captain of a submarine wanted to test his crew, and especially his engine room. So one day he asked them for top speed. And they got going top speed, and then suddenly he said, "Emergency stop." And his orders were instantly obeyed. The people heard the public address system turned on, and they heard the voice, "This is the captain speaking. Well done, engine room. You stopped the sub in exactly 55.05 seconds." And it was quiet. And soon another voice boomed out of the public address system. "This is the chef. The sub may have stopped, but your steak and potatoes kept going. Cold dinner for everyone tonight." Today, as we continue to walk the Via Dolorosa, we find ourselves observing Simon of Cyrene, which I finally got the pronunciation from, about carrying the cross. Before we continue our journey, though, let's remind ourselves where we have been in the journey so far. The first Sunday of Lent, we started with Pilate, the Roman governor of Jerusalem, and how, because of his own fear over his personal life and his political life, kept him from seeing the truth in front of him and doing the right thing. Our next stop was in the presence of the high priest and the council, as they allowed the law to be an end in itself and not a means to an end. The law made them righteous and not loving or graceful. Last week, we spent some time with the soldiers as they mocked Jesus. They who had no discernible reason to hate or mock Jesus seemed to allow the feelings of the crowd to determine how they related with this man. And today we catch up with Simon. And next week we will spend some time with the two thieves who were crucified. Now, there's only one verse about Simon of Cyrene. It's found in Mark. You just heard it. And Matthew and Luke both copied Mark. They have the very same verse. And that's the only time Simon is mentioned in the Bible. Scholars have surmised that Simon was not a Gentile from North African region of Cyrenaica. Rather, the thinking is that he was a Jewish person who lived out in the countryside of Palestine, and he'd come into Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. Now, the reference to Alexander and Rufus was probably because of the fact that those people who first heard the words of Mark knew who Alexander and Rufus were. There is a mention of a Rufus in Romans chapter 16, verse 13. Paul says, "Greet Rufus, a chosen in the Lord, and greet his mother, a mother to me also." There's an Alexander and his brother that are mentioned in the apocryphal book, the Acts of Peter and Andrew, as being companions and disciples of Peter and Andrew and shared in their missionary endeavors. But that's all we know about Rufus and Alexander. Simon is coming into the city to be a part of a Passover celebration. And he's stopped because of this procession that maybe crosses his path, or he stops because of curiosity. But he stopped because of this procession of three men carrying their crosses on their way, obviously, to their crucifixion. Now, maybe they weren't carrying the whole cross. Maybe they were only carrying the cross beam, which is generally what they say happened in that time. Was he repulsed by it? Did he even know anything about the one called Jesus? Or have any thoughts about him? We don't know any of that. It just says he was chosen and picked to carry the cross. Jesus was obviously struggling to carry whatever it was he was carrying. And the soldiers wanted to get this thing over with. So they looked for someone else to carry the cross for Jesus. Now we can surmise that Simon might have been a fairly tall, strong-looking man, because he was chosen out of the crowd to carry the cross. They wouldn't have wanted a weakling to carry the cross because he might have the same problems that Jesus was having. Now, Simon was trying to celebrate the Passover, and now he's carrying the cross of a condemned man. You know, life has a way of doing that to us. We have in mind things that we want to accomplish. We have our agendas. And suddenly life just reaches out and messes it up. Perhaps it's someone making a demand on us. Or perhaps it's an illness that knocks us down. Perhaps it's something that we experience that we just can't mentally let go of it. We can't forget it. Now, if you talk to many ministers, and I suppose in a way I could be counted among them, they say that they felt the call to be a minister at some point, but they resisted it for a long time because they didn't think they were the right person for it, or they just didn't want to do it until they could resist it no longer. You know, in a way, that's kind of the story of Jonah. Jonah's minding his own business, and God says, go to Nineveh and proclaim these words to them. Jonah said, I don't want any part of that. I'm going the other way. And we know how that story ends up. He is like the steak and potatoes in our story. He goes the opposite direction, and everything turns into a big mess for him. And as we heard today, God calls him again. As Jonah's sitting in this mess. And Jonah says, okay, I'll go. You see, the thing that we often forget is that our faith, our belief in Jesus and God does not promise a life without problems. It does not promise a life of ease, a life without challenges. And the question we have to ask ourselves really is, would we even want that kind of life? A life of no problems, of ease, no challenges. Carl Perkins is quoted as saying, if it weren't for the rocks in the bed, the stream would have no song. If it weren't for the rocks in the bed, the stream would have no song. You see, the challenge for us is, what will we do when life interrupts our plans and our wishes? We can pull a Jonah and go our own way with our own agenda. The problem is, we might find ourselves in a mess. or we might also find ourselves wondering down the road, what would have happened if I'd done that? What would have happened if I'd listened to that small voice? What if I had given that person, that hungry person, a sandwich? What if we had spoken out and for someone, supported someone who was facing some kind of opposition that we thought was unfair? Life happens. And we need to remind ourselves that it may be God knocking on our door to do something. Paul certainly found that to be true. Paul literally got knocked off his horse. Did it change Simon? We don't know. But it's possible that it did do something to him or to his family. It's obvious that it did something to his family because Rufus and Alexander are lifted up and not necessarily in a negative way. When life interrupts us, it's good to remember the words of that hymn that I think all of you love in the hymn book, number 525. Here I am, Lord. The refrain is, here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I've heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. Interruptions are not always interruptions. They are God nudging us to kingdom living, to discipleship. Even illness can serve the same function. Now, I do not believe in any way, shape, or form that God causes illness to teach us a lesson. But perhaps God uses an illness within ourselves to help us to think about maybe doing a better job taking care of ourselves, our bodily temples, so that we can be ready to do whatever it is that God is calling us to do, when God calls us to do it. You know, when I pray for, at the close of session and deacons' meetings, there's always a line in the prayer toward the end that says, God, grant us a safe and restful a peaceful and restful sleep tonight so that we can awaken tomorrow refreshed and renewed and ready to do whatever you call us to do. Sleep is good because it preserves our bodies so that we're ready for God. I also want it to be known and perfectly clear that God does not make people hungry in order to teach us to care for them or any of those other bad things. Those are the ways of the world. God gives those people strength to get through those times, and God nudges us to help them get through those times. When life interrupts, when it seems like our lives are thrown off course, we need to ask ourselves, is there something here I need to be aware of? Is there something I need to be doing here? Open your hearts to God. And listen for the still small voice. You know, it's important to note that both Jonah and Paul, and as I shared with Elijah and others, had to spend some time in reflecting what had happened to them before they were ready to do what God was calling them to do. Paul had to spend time with one of the apostles, or the disciples. Jonah, well, he had to spend time in the belly of a fish, so that when God called the second time, he said, yeah, okay, I'm going to go this time. Elijah, he spent time in a cave By the way, this is true for the church as well as individuals. I firmly believe that God is nudging our church, this church, in a new direction. And we're still trying to discover what that direction is. We haven't got it nailed down yet. But God is telling us, you know, you can't continue to do things the way you've been doing them. God has some new things for us to do. New ways of being the church. The piano that we're dedicating in a few minutes might seem just like a musical instrument. But it might be a way that God's just saying, you got an opportunity here, people. Think about taking it. Howard and another individual have already working on setting up a music series for our church, whereby musical artists would come in and share their gift to the people of the community. And people who might not be willing or ready to step foot in a church during morning worship might come in for a music program and say, I like what this church is thinking about and doing. I like some of the people of this church. Or all the people of this church. God's saying, maybe we can do things in a different way here, guys and gals. Is it something that we should be doing? Only time will tell. But as you can tell, I'm excited about it. Where has the steak and potatoes piled up in your life? Is God challenging you? Pray about it. Talk to God about it. And as I said earlier, when you're done talking, sit and listen for a while. Let God talk to you. Remember, this is about what God wants, not what we want. Amen.